The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
And last time I was here, I responded to a question around working with challenging emotion in a lot in terms of how to meet it in daily life. So explored working with it with mindfulness and potentially what to do when it's not so easy, how to navigate that a little bit, and a little bit about turning the attention elsewhere. So really largely looking at it from the perspective of mindfulness of the experience. And tonight I'd like to offer a different kind of perspective on working with a different tool to work with challenge. Because, here at this center, and I think a lot in our practice, we emphasize the mindfulness of the present moment, so just being here with what's arising, whether that's something difficult or whether it's something beautiful, something neutral. We often emphasize that, can I meet this? Can I be with this? But the Buddha also taught what we could call reflective practice, using our thoughts to support us in understanding our minds. And I'd like to explore one particular tool for that, but I'll talk a little more generally first about the way the Buddha talked about reflective practice and talked about working with thoughts skillfully in our lives. I think we often have a kind of a conflicted relationship with thought, and when thoughts arise in our meditation, often we're trying to put them aside and just come back to being here right now. And that's a skillful approach. And yet, it's not really allowing us to open to, sometimes our thoughts can help us to navigate something. So, one of the things the Buddha taught his own son was a reflective practice. And he encouraged his son to think about what he was going to do before he did it and to reflect on whether that would cause harm for anybody. And so he was encouraging a reflection about how our actions might affect ourselves and others before we do them. And using this lens of, is somebody going to be hurt? Is there going to be affliction if I take that action? And so he encouraged his son to think before he acted, to use his thoughts, consciously think about, what am I going to do? How's that going to be? And then he also encouraged him to think while he was acting, and again, through this lens of is this causing harm? Is it creating suffering? Is it creating affliction to be doing this thing that I'm doing? Are you seeing somebody else respond in a way that maybe makes you realize that they're struggling with how you are engaging in this moment? Or maybe you're seeing that it's actually creating some distress inside yourself. He encouraged us both to reflect on not only what's happening to others, but what's happening for ourselves. Before we act, while we're acting, and then after we act also, he encouraged us to think, did that cause harm? Did that create suffering for myself, for others? And at each point, he said, if it's going to cause harm, then don't do it. If it is causing harm while you're doing it, stop. And after, he said, afterwards, then he encouraged us to undertake restraint in the future. In various places, he encouraged us to make amends. And he also encouraged us to talk about it with somebody wise, basically. And so sometimes we can use this, so the tool that I'd really like to explore tonight is kind of about looking back at what has happened to us. So it's that third one of reflecting back on things that we have done. And using, maybe, and we can perhaps find somebody wise to talk to, a friend in the Dharma, a teacher or somebody that we could talk to about a situation. But we can also use the wisdom that we've learned in our practice to help us to reflect. And so this style of, or this tool that I'd like to offer is kind of about bringing something into our minds. Like, suppose there's something that's happened, and this ties in a way to what I talked about last week, because often when there's a pattern or a habit that's particularly challenging for us, a pattern that comes up a lot, and then we tend to get triggered, maybe we get triggered in a certain situation, or certain kinds of emotions are kind of repetitive for us. When those happen sometimes in the midst of our daily lives, we don't often, or sometimes we may not have the bandwidth or the time to really kind of stop and say, well, how is this in the present moment? Now, you're having a conversation with your boss, and you're getting, there's a charge rising, and it's like not so easy to just tell your boss, now stop here, because I need to like look at my body and see what's happening. So we don't have that freedom a lot of the time in our daily lives. And so we do the best we can. We do the best we can in the moment, remembering, hopefully, to ground ourselves in non-harming, to remember to act in a way, hopefully, that won't create harm. But often we end up with some kind of lingering residue about a situation that's happened to us in our day. And we can use our practice, and this is the interesting piece about reflective practice. We essentially use a kind of a combination of reflection, of thinking back on what has happened during the day, and mindfulness to support us to learn something about that situation, to learn something about our minds, to maybe help us to grow our capacity to meet those kinds of situations. When we have some time, when we have some capacity, or when we know we're going to sit down and look at this thing, kind of think back on our day. So one teacher that I've taught with quite a bit, Annie Nugent, has recommended kind of this way to shift into a reflective practice. That she actually encouraged the four R's: relax, review, reflect, and then resolve. So I'll go through each of those, what she meant by those. The first is, just first of all, if you're going to do this, it's really helpful, like we did in the guided meditation, to let yourself consciously relax. Know that you're going to be, to let yourself let go of any tension that's kind of accumulated through the day. Just find your way to a relaxation. She actually encouraged like getting in the bathtub. And I don't know that that's a politically correct thing to do in California, given our drought, but something that will support you to relax. A cup of tea, a blanket, cozy on your couch or something. Just something that will support you to relax. And then maybe using some of these relaxation scans that I offered in the guided meditation, scanning through your body to relax. And then to review, to think back on your day. When I teach this kind of practice, this kind of review can be useful to kind of just review, to think back on your day. Was there some place in the day where it felt like, there was a little bit of a twinge of, maybe there was something I would like to look at more? But often at the end of the day, we know something already. It's like there may be something that happened and we are like, still hashing it over or thinking about it. And if you have that kind of a situation, then I often like to suggest that you kind of pick or know the thing that that you would like to reflect on in advance. know, kind of almost know the situation you want to reflect on. And then, you know, relax, forget about the thing you want to reflect on, relax. But then after you've settled for a little while, and maybe it's just through the relaxation or maybe a little bit of connecting to present moment experience following the relaxation, after a few minutes of that, then bringing the situation into mind. As we do this, and I think we intuitively know what happens when we bring a situation into mind, it often will create some of the same feelings and thoughts and emotions that happened when that situation was happening. This is, it's really useful to know that this happens. It's useful to understand how powerful thoughts are. Thoughts are extremely powerful. If we, you know, just sitting here, just, you know, kind of calmly minding our own business in our meditation, we have seen, most of us, I think, through the meditation, have seen a memory come. And just see how much, when that memory comes, how much emotion comes with it. And body sensations are arising with it. Often very similar to what was happening at the time that the situation happened. And so the next piece of it, Annie talks about reflecting. And we can use reflecting here, we can use two pieces of reflecting. One being the thoughts about it. But also, I think reflection here can include, so that thought, you're holding that thought in your mind. So there's that part of the reflection. And then there's bringing the mindfulness to how you are right now. What's happening right now? So essentially what this does for us is it, because we're exploring this in a space and a time where we maybe have a little more quiet, we're not in such a rushed situation or in such a dynamic, complex situation, we have the time to let ourselves feel what was happening in that moment. Let ourselves feel into the emotions that are arising and not to push them away, but to, so this gives us a little bit of skill in learning how to be with them, but also potentially in this process, it can be useful to kind of reflect on, you know, a little bit of like, well, okay, how did this happen? You know, what did that person say that triggered this? So that there's a little bit of a discerning, you know, kind of the step-by-step what happened as the situation unfolded. And also then to bring in some of the Dharma understanding that we have, you know, what might have been a skillful way to respond to this. So we'll actually practice this in a little while, so I'll go through it with you in a guided meditation. And then, you know, after having, and I encourage people actually to just do this for a few minutes and to take care with it, because sometimes when we touch back in on something that was charged, we may get really charged again. And so we don't want to like re-traumatize ourselves or get overwhelmed here. And so there needs to be a skill with recognizing how much of this we can hold. How long can we actually sit with this, and how much can we meet this? How much can I be curious about this in the way that we do with mindfulness? Well, what's this like? What's it like to be a human being thinking about this and feeling these things? And when does it slip into just being caught in the content again, rather than having this kind of balance? In a way, this kind of reflection practice is touching on a tool that my teacher Sayadaw Tejaniya speaks of sometimes. He calls 50-50 mindfulness. You know, 50% of the attention on the content of what we're thinking about, or the content of what we're doing. You know, this can work with us in daily life as well, and as in this reflection practice. So 50% of the attention on, you know, the thoughts about the situation, and 50% of the attention on how I am around those thoughts. knowing the bodily sensations and the emotions and then other thoughts that might come up. As long as we've got that kind of capacity, you can hover with it for a little while. But if it starts to tip into being more and more involved with the content, where it feels like you're just getting like stuck or pulled into the rabbit hole of the content, it might be useful to stop, open your eyes, look around the room, kind of just let yourself kind of decouple from that thought. And sometimes if the thought is strong, it might be useful to actually, you know, look at something for a second, a corner of a room, and then pick another corner of the room, and then another one. Every second, shifting to a new corner. Just let yourself really connect with that. Actually, let's all do that right now, because it's a really interesting tool to have at our disposal. So just right now, find a corner and look at that corner. Any place two lines come together. Doesn't have to be the literal corner of a room, but any place two lines join. And then look at it. Just know that you're looking at that corner. And now switch to another one. Find another one. And then another one. Helpful to move your head while you're doing this, you know, kind of orienting around the room. Find corners in the room. Another one. And we'll do this for like 20 seconds. So just look, connect to a corner, and then switch about once a second. We'll just keep doing this for about 20 seconds. So, just quickly, any comments about how that was? You don't have to use the mic, just call it out and I'll repeat it. Any one or two words about what that was like to do that?
There's a lot of corners,
yep. It's amazing, we can see how many places two lines come together. Yeah.
Less discursive thinking.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Anything else? Somebody? So easier to focus than with the eyes closed. Yep. And I think that's definitely true for those of us who have the faculty of sight, for those of us who are sighted. The visual field is a pretty strong field. And if we're using our attention consciously, you know, connecting with something and then something else and consciously connecting from one thing to another, it can be a very easy place to stay connected if we're doing that like once a second, something new. And so it kind of creates almost a little continuity of the attention, which helps the discursive thoughts reduce. Anything else? Anybody notice anything kind of more like emotionally or mentally, anything? Notice anything like that?
I thought it was a little fun.
Fun?
There was a point where I followed a line because I knew it would hit.
You would hit a corner.
And it was like, oh, we'll just follow this.
So you had some enjoyment in
Yes, some enjoyment.
Yeah, so some delight in following a line to find the next corner. Anybody experience a kind of a little bit more calm or more relaxation?
A little bit of security.
A feeling of security. Yes. So a feeling of security, maybe a little bit of like being held in a container. So this can be a way to help the mind, if it gets caught into something really challenging, gets kind of stuck or pulled into a kind of a rabbit hole. This is one of the most powerful tools I know to help the mind kind of let go of something that it's felt like it was magnetized to, and kind of come back to a little more balance. So this is, I just offer this, and I offer it partly in case, you know, in this exercise that we'll do, if any of you feel like you get pulled into a rabbit hole, you are welcome to open your eyes and do this. You know, let yourself kind of connect to something other than what your mind has gotten pulled to. So the starting with relaxation and settling, and then having whatever it is, reviewing, picking the thing that you're going to reflect on, and then bringing it into mind. And I'll give you some guidance on that. And then feeling into how you are and potentially reflecting on, you know, what might, you know, in what way might the practice support you? In what way might being mindful have supported you in that situation? What kind of qualities might be helpful? And then the fourth R that Annie mentions is resolve. And that's, kind of just to connect. And this is what the Buddha encouraged his son, you know, undertake restraint in the future is what he said to his son. If you did something that caused harm, the situation that you may think to reflect on may or may not have caused harm, but it may have created agitation in your system. And so one of the ways we can resolve here is to kind of this practice of learning how to meet these difficult situations with mindfulness through kind of practicing. Essentially what we're doing is practicing modeling a situation in our mind. And that at the end of a situation, of a session like that, you could just connect to the intention or the resolve to meet situations like that with kindness, with mindfulness in the future. And it may or may not, you know, happen, but it's just like a connecting to an intention to, just remember that this kind of mindfulness can support us even in the quickness of our lives. So let me see if there's any more I want to mention about this reflective practice before we do it. Well, actually what I'll say is I'm talking about this as a tool for like reviewing a situation that happened in your life, you know, kind of because I was talking from the perspective of what the Buddha said to his son. You know, think back on what you did. You know, was it helpful? But this tool for reflection is a very generally useful tool. You know, we can use this kind of settling the mind in a kind of a meditative space, and then bringing some kind of a theme or a question or some kind of a decision we might have to make into our minds. And then feeling into how does that make me feel? So, for instance, you know, you might one of the things I played with very early on in my practice was a kind of a reflection about ethics. I'd heard a lot about ethical conduct, and I wanted to understand for myself what might be the benefit of behaving ethically. You know, so I began to use that question. I would settle in meditation, and I'd just bring that question in. What might the benefit of ethical conduct be? And, just drop that question in. And this is one of the ways I sometimes describe this kind of reflective practice, is let the mind settle. Kind of like if you have a bowl of water that you've been carrying around and then you set it down, it's sloshing around a little bit, but you let it sit there for a little while and it moves into stillness. And so it's just like letting it settle, letting your mind still a little bit. And then the thing you want to reflect on is kind of like a pebble that you drop into the water. So you drop this pebble into the bowl and there will be ripples from the the dropping of the pebble. It's very natural. You drop the pebble and there's going to be consequences to that. And so likewise with this reflective practice, you're dropping a question in like that, it creates something in the mind. And for me, that very first time I tried this reflective practice, I actually learned this reflective practice, this form of this reflective practice from a monastic, Ajahn Amaro. And, you know, he just said, you know, kind of just notice the ripples. It's like dropping that pebble into the meditation. Notice the ripples of that. Be mindful of what the ripples are. And so that very first time I dropped that question in, what is the benefit of sila? My experience was loneliness. And I thought, well, that's odd. What does that have to do with anything? But I just kind of, you know, just like I didn't try to think about it at that point. I just let that be. And actually what I did was to just do this same question multiple times. You know, I did it every day for 2 weeks. And I had a little book next to me, and this can be useful too, so that when I finished, and I did this for maybe 7 minutes, you know, not very long. And I had this little book next to me, so as I came out of my reflective practice, I made a few notes of what I noticed. Just what I noticed. Not anything that I thought about it, but just like, well, that's what happened when I dropped that question in. That's what I noticed. And so I wrote that down, and I did this every day for a couple of weeks. And then I went back over my notes. And as I went over the notes, you know, what happened each day, and just like, what were the sensations, what were the thoughts, what were the emotions, what were the feelings that I experienced, I began to see the kind of the connections between all of these different things that I experienced. And I got my answer about what it meant that I was lonely, that what that loneliness was about was kind of, well, what the consequences of not being ethical are, is a kind of a disconnection from people, a kind of a separation that results in feeling isolated and feeling lonely. And so that it was a surprise to me to see or to understand how that connection was revealed to me. So that's one thing we can reflect on Dharma themes. Another thing that can be very interesting or useful, and I've taught this practice to people often when they have a challenging or they're not sure about what kind of decision to make. I've got these two choices, and maybe they're both great choices, but I don't know. I don't know what to do. How do I make a decision? And sometimes I say, well, you know, you can think it through using your usual ways of doing things, but sometimes we can tap in to like a deeper level of motivation and a deeper like kind of level of information that's available in our system if we do this kind of a reflective practice. So in that kind of a situation, I often encourage people to, you know, so settle into meditation and, you know, formulate. Actually, I encourage people not to try to think this or this during that kind of a reflection, but to pick one in one session and kind of envision it. Envision the following through of that decision and then see, how does it land? What happens? What are the feelings, the emotions that come up? What are the tensions that come up? And so, you know, with each of these decisions, you know, spend a few days with one, and then the next few days try the other one. And you know, you may or may not get, quote, an answer, but you may touch into some, you know, deeper currents of information that are available in our system than we would have if we were just working from the kind of the intellectual side. So it can like open up some channels to some deeper things that can support us in making decisions. So this tool of using reflections is very widely useful. So the basic form is to relax. I often encourage people to pick their theme beforehand. You know, it's kind of the scene or the situation. And then settle in, relax, let the mind settle, maybe be with the breath. And then bring the theme, bring the scene, the theme, the question into your mind after the mind is settled. And then hover with that theme, but stay with, be curious about the other 50% of how you are with it. Do that for a few minutes and then come out. And as I said, I often encourage people to take some notes following that, write some things down, and then come back to it a few days in a row, just to give yourself a chance to get different perspectives on the same situation, because it'll come up differently each day. Each day we have a different set of conditions we're bringing in to the situation, and so we get a different kind of maybe a different lens or a different perspective on the same situation on different days at different times. So are you willing to give this a try? Play with this? Okay, so I'll just take a moment here at the beginning to let you, you know, just let's do it in terms of something that happened in the last, I don't know, day or week or so, where there was something that happened that it's still niggling at you. You know, something that's niggling at you, so that we can all kind of be working with something like that together. That'll help me to be able to kind of make the meditation be more relevant to everybody at the same time. So picking something like that. And now just let that go. You know, let yourself know what you're going to bring in. But let's just take a few moments to relax, settle, to let the system kind of, you know, sometimes we have a little bit of a swirl of energy in our system. And like that bowl of water, can we just let ourselves be still in this moment? Not trying to actively still that energy, but just knowing that it will still, it will settle as we sit here with the stillness of body. And maybe allowing the feeling of the swirl. Sometimes I like the image of the snow globe. You know, we've been thinking and reflecting, and, you know, that's like we've picked up a snow globe and have swirled it around. And now, let's just put that snow globe down on the shelf. A part of the delight of the snow globe is watching the glitter settle. And so, considering the swirl or whatever energy is in your system is kind of that glitter. Just letting it be and kind of watching it settle. Maybe allowing there to be a relaxation in the body. Being aware of how you are in this moment. And so letting yourself now call to mind that situation that's still niggling at you, that has been niggling at you, whatever it is. And let yourself call up that situation in your mind. If you can, perhaps with almost an image, Now letting yourself recall the details of where you were, who you were with, how you were situated, standing, sitting. What you were saying or what somebody else was saying. Any moods or emotions that were happening, and perhaps any details about what the other, if there were other people there, what was happening for them. And as you're creating this recollection in your mind, how is it affecting you right now? This is this 50-50. You know, don't let go of the recollection, but can you know the recollection and also know how you are right now with that? How's your body right now? What moods and emotions are happening right now? See if you can bring an interest to this exploration. This is really an opportunity for learning, understanding. There's no need for self-judgment here. This is really just about reflecting what happened and how is the feeling. This is just exploring the feelings that come up and exploring, can this be held here? Keep the recollection in mind and check in to your body, your mind. Moods, emotions, even thoughts perhaps might be popping in. I should have done this, or just take note of them. Don't follow them. Let's just keep coming back to what's here now. Is there some aspect of this experience, of the situation, the recollection, some aspect of that that you might be able to learn from? How you are in the present moment might offer a little help in seeing that or understanding that. And at this point, you can let go of the recollection itself, keeping your eyes closed and staying connected with your body, your experience here and now. Just noticing how you are. And now bringing into kind of reflect a little bit about how might your mindfulness practice support you in this situation? How might being present support you? How might an understanding about everything being an unfolding of causes and conditions support you? And also, how does it feel now to bring that reflection into mind? How is it for you now to hold these kinds of questions of what you might be able to learn. How might the Dharma support you? The mindfulness practice support you? And then for the last little while, minute or so, just bringing in, are there any questions you have about how the practice might support you here? Anything it would be useful to ask? So is anybody comfortable enough or willing to share what you experienced in that, something you experienced in that? I'll take a minute in just a moment to get to, if there's any of the questions that came up, to see if there's any questions and to respond. But yeah, great.
So I noticed that a lot of anxiety came up for me in the moment when I re-experienced it.
Yeah.
And that's where my reaction came from.
So so you're saying that when you brought the thing into mind, you mm-hmm. noticed there was anxiety mm-hmm. and then that you think that was where your reactivity happened in the moment.
Yeah.
Was that a little of a surprise for
it
you?
It was.
Yeah. And so that can be so useful to see that, because, you know, that helps you. You see the anxiety here and now and get a little bit familiar with what that's like. And that can help you in your daily life to recognize it more easily in the moment. And then, oh, this is a place to be careful. So, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Anybody else willing to share something that you noticed? Yeah.
So I noticed embarrassment. Well, I picked a topic that gave me embarrassment. And when I brought it up, I felt a lot of anger. Mm. Which was interesting. I didn't feel embarrassed anymore, but I felt anger towards the person who made me embarrassed.
Uh-huh.
And then, but when I brought mindfulness to it, it just seemed all kind of silly, the whole scenario.
Oh, interesting.
So I was able to kind of let it go a bit.
Uh-huh. So what was the silliness? And what was that? How did that come, the silliness?
I think what I felt was, when I'm mindful, there's a lot less ego involved.
Yes.
And so when I'm not mindful of the ego, the defenses are up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
And so maybe some of the silliness was seeing how much the ego was kind of posturing and,
exactly.
and doing this stuff. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, great, thanks. Maybe one more, if there's interest in one more person sharing something. Yeah.
I reflected on situations where I find myself in doubt of my own gut feelings and, revisiting those moments, made me realize, the truth I was feeling in those moments was valid.
So the sense of uncertainty was valid?
No, that the know that my feelings were valid and that my doubts were
false. Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, great.
Yeah.
That's helpful.
Indeed,
to see that. Yeah. Yeah. So again, you know, was that a surprise for you to see that?
Usually, yeah.
Yeah. So this kind of thing can really help us. And even just this like 7 minutes we did this, help us to see something new about ourselves. So I'm curious, are there anybody have any questions that came up at the end, that last part? Any questions that came up in terms of something they wanted to check in about?
I guess the experience I was reflecting on when I applied mindfulness to it, I realized that it was sort of a door to a much older house than the experience of 2 days ago.
Yes.
And perhaps some of the original memories associated with that have faded in detail. I wondered how you'd advise dealing with those things that have become kind of rounded with wear, but still quite heavy.
Yeah, this is a really great question, and it can be useful. I thought about doing a little bit of an exploration of that, because I'd say a lot of times whatever is niggling at us, it's not just about the situation. There's often some history of something, you know, that's connected to. And so I'd thought about, you know, checking in to see, is there something, you know, from your past that might be relevant here? But I did want to mention that now afterwards. So I think this is great that you brought that up. So I'd say often with something, you know, your experience that you mentioned, you know, the ones all of you mentioned, actually, probably there's kind of a familiarity to this. And often the things that are familiar are things that have been conditioned through our lives. And there may be, you know, it can be sometimes interesting to reflect back on, you know, is there maybe an early time, a time when it's like, felt like, yeah, that was maybe the first time I really felt that. And you may not have a lot of details about it, but just a little bit, you know, of going back to that time and maybe bringing a little more thinking to it. You know, so for myself, a situation from my childhood, you know, it's like, oh, that was what happened then. And, you know, this is what my father was doing and my mother and my brother, and this is where we all were. And then, you know, a little bit of reflection, not only about what was going on for me, but now, you know, being an adult, knowing a little bit about what was going on for my family and my parents. It's like, you know, kind of almost taking the other side and then, well, what was going on for that person? And then how did that affect me? And not knowing really what was going on for that person. So you can bring in some thoughts to, you know, maybe let yourself touch into some of those early kind of sources for some of these patterns. And I would encourage this, you know, take care with this in particular, because some of those early memories can be more charged, you know, when we have kind of buried them there. They're not so up, you know, they're not so obvious, but they have been informing us. The patterns have been informing us. And so sometimes going back to those things, a lot of compassion is helpful. A lot of patience and an open-hearted kind of recognition that, you know, I was doing the best I can in that time. Probably also, I mean, depending on the situation, you know, often people are all, you know, a lot of often people are doing the best they can, and it's just not very pretty. You know, it's just people are struggling. And so, you know, to reflect on the conditions, not only of my own response, but, you know, well, what were the conditions of, you know, that person, you know, so that we see, you know, so sometimes I think the reflecting on the conditions in those early situations, when we reflect back to those early memories, remembering and reflecting on you know, the conditions, the many, many conditions. In every moment, in this moment, there are so many conditions that have come together to put us right here in this room right now that we cannot even, like, think about all of them. There's no way to kind of think about, you know, well, why am I here right now? Well, the ostensible reason is, well, I'm teaching a class, but how did I get here? Like, well, if my friend hadn't sent me that book 20 years ago, I probably wouldn't be here right now. You know, so that's a condition. So there's just vast conditions affecting us. And remembering that in those kind of, you know, formative events in our lives, that many conditions were coming to play, and you know, we were responding out of what we knew. You know, how we responded was out of conditions, and how the other people responded was out of their conditioning, and it's just this vast web. And that, for me, when I really touched into that in some of those older memories, it helped me. Now, I would say it didn't like shift the kind of the emotional pattern that happened, but it let me hold it in a way. It's like, oh, right, this is, of course, this is just conditions. It really, it took some of the personal sting out of it. It really helped me to let myself just be like, well, yeah, well, that's the way it was. That's what happened. And I didn't have control over that. And, you know, the other people were, you know, also in their conditioning, and it's like we all are kind of doing what we can to muddle our way through. And so it really helped me to hold it with so much more compassion, that understanding of the conditioned the conditioning that led to that original kind of thing helped me to hold it with so much more compassion that I could then be with that pattern that is the kind of the reverberation or reflection of it with more compassion. So that those are a few thoughts around that. Yeah. So it might be useful to let yourself kind of consciously call up those earlier memories and see if you can bring those reflections of the conditionality, you know, to that. You know, that these were the conditions at play. You know, there's so many conditions. It's not just the conditions of how you are in that moment. It's the conditions of, you know, the economics of your family and the, you know, where you lived and were you in the city or were you, you know, so there's just vast conditions. It's not just, you know, personal conditions. It's societal conditions that come into play in that realm. And, you know, when we really recognize that, and it's like, wow, you know, I just had to respond as I did. And that's what I learned. And then we also can recognize, because so that vastness of that, you know, the conditions coming to bear can seem in some ways, it can be both hopeful in some way, and it can also seem overwhelming. Like in this moment, to think about all those conditions coming together. And how much of a choice do I have in this moment? Well, mindfulness does give us some choice. It gives us the capacity to look and see, oh, this is anxiety happening right now. Oh, wow, okay, maybe I can be with that. And so when we can be mindful of how I am right now in this moment, given that all these conditions have come into being in this moment, there is a capacity to maybe choose more skillfully. And so that's a beautiful thing about the mindfulness practice, that it helps us in that. And now it's time to stop. So thank you for your willing to go along the ride in this experiment. And if any more of you have questions that you'd like to check in about, I'm happy to stay for a few minutes and check in with you.